It's good to be here in God's house, isn't it? And those who don't know me, my name's Martin, I'm married to Lorna. This is the front here, I don't always do this. And I've already told you one story about her birthday, here's another one. And very often Lorna says to me in the morning when we're getting ready, if I'm preaching, she says, "Are you telling any stories about me?" And but she didn't ask this morning. And I thought I was doing the right thing, actually. So when we were preparing for birthdays and the children get something, and the children this year decided to club together and get something a bit bigger than they normally would, which is actually fantastic. There's only so many Peppa Pig cups you can have. So they came together, and with a little bit of financial assistance, we went to Boots, and counting up the pound coins, they bought a bottle of her favourite perfume, which is an A&A. So we then wrapped it, and we gave it to her, and Lorna was very gracious, thanking us all and thanking the children, how thoughtful it was. That was her favourite, and they were very pleased. I hope there's none of them here. Later on, I just sat down with Lorna, just reflecting on the day. I said, "Did you like your perfume?" And she said, "It was wonderful. I'll add it to the other four bottles I've not yet opened." So I thought to myself, actually, I got it so right, but so wrong. But I am convinced that God's love for me is perfect. And actually, nothing can get in the way of that. And this morning, and in Mark's planned worship, the love of God and the romancing of us by God, it was a constant, overwhelming thing. And as I prepared this over the last few nights and this morning, I think I'm talking about the love of God. This isn't anything groundbreaking, but actually it is. It is. One of the things Lorna does, is we go on some training put on by social services, and I normally hate it, I must be honest, and I'm not a good pupil. And so I sit there, I get frustrated, I do a lot of doodling, ask ridiculous questions, and I'm continually kicked by Lorna to say, "Behave!" under the table. And on a recent course we were on, we were talking about neglect of children. So this is children not receiving the love of their parents. And it's one of the most common reasons that children end up in a care system. And I always just thought, maybe I just thought it was about children not getting fed enough or not getting enough clothes, and it was practical and it was physical. But actually the effect on children is much more profound. Health effects are associated with neglect. The brain doesn't grow as much as it should do. Relationships become difficult. More likely to experience mental health problems, depression, stress. More likely to go on to have difficult, chaotic lives. And this lady said, you know, if children in their early years don't get the affection of their parents, this neglect is profound, physical, and systemic. And I thought to myself, I wonder how much that's true of us and the love of God. But it's quite different, because God does love us, but sometimes we're not great at receiving it and acting upon it. Would you agree? The depths of the love of God for me and for you, I feel as though sometimes I'm hardly touching the surface. And maybe when we think about the love of God, all sorts of things come into our mind. We may think we're a bit of a failed project. We may think we're a bit of an accident. We may think we are fairly marginal to God's plans. We may think insidiously we're a product of an evolutionary system. But the reality is, God loves you, He made you, He cares for you, and your name is written on His hand. The book of Romans is wonderful for unpacking the love of God. And in Romans 5, 18 to 19, Paul really, we see him really unpack the essence of the sacrifice of Jesus. And he says this. This is from the Message. You might guess it's from the Message. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all into trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us all out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong. And one man said yes to God and put many people in the right. Wow, that's good. And I am fascinated by, in possibly for evangelicals, one of the most famous passages in the Bible, Romans 8, where the culmination of the book of Romans pulls together so much of the background in terms of Christ, the sacrifice, the nature of sin, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, rolls it together in Romans 8. And it's interesting how Paul makes similar statements two or three times. And I think he says it two or three times because we don't get it first time. We don't get it first time. And just as Ivan prayed this morning that we all come with burdens and problems and difficulties, but God is interested and God wants to work through those. And God is higher and God is deeper, but also God's in those situations. And he writes this in Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, repeat after me, all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And I've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. This passage is very clear. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things. And I wonder sometimes, it crosses my mind, and I hear a lot in conversations, I'm going through a difficult time. And I say, God, where are you, my loving Father? Where are you, my loving Father? God works in all things. Those who have been called according to his purpose. For God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among brothers and sisters. And we've got a place with Christ forever in glory. Then on to verse 31, it says this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you know what? Just as Tim prayed with a group of people going to university, he did say, there are people against you. There are spiritual powers. There are demons that will seek to shipwreck your faith. And suddenly when we were praying for the image of the sower came, and I thought, these are examples of God sowing the word into people's lives. And in many ways, some of these guys may well find themselves in positions that the sower saw. And Jesus said, some of these will land among thistles and among in shallow ground and on the path. But our prayer is they would land on deep soil and they would prosper and grow and multiply in God's kingdom. But if God is for us, who can be against us? What he's saying here is, if you have the creator of the world who holds the future, who's prepared eternity, who is alive and with us day in, day out, if he is for you, then whatever is against you is small. It's not eternal. It's beaten. The cross has overcome. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. I love this. First passage says, we know in all things God works. Then he says that God will graciously give you all things. All things. Whatever it is, sickness, defeat, disease, discouragement, in all things God has overcome. And he can provide in all situations. He is our all-sufficient one. Amen? And I stand here with not a perfect life, with difficulties and troubles and situations I give to God on a regular basis, and I cry, God, I believe that you have the answer for this stuff. In all things. Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, he was raised to life at the right hand of God. He's also interceding for us. Well, for us, for you, for you. Interceding for you. Praying for you. I made some bad choices this week, some good choices, and I was very surprised how difficult it was one day to do the right thing. I was surprised at my sinful nature. I was in a car park in Luton, living the dream. And I pulled into this car park space, and there was an Audi A6, nice, shiny one, posh one, and I just rubbed against his wheel arch, and I parked. And I thought, oh, that's bad. And do you know what? I had this instant compulsion to run. And I just couldn't believe it. I thought, what, Martin, what else were you doing? So I thought, I can't park it, it's really tight. I shouldn't have gone in. So I pulled out, parked somewhere else. And again, this instant compulsion came. Nobody's seen it. I thought, oh, Lord. I was really surprised. Here I am. An elder at High Street Church, Islam, and I get this instant desire to flee and admit no responsibility. Please, will somebody put their hand up if I say, do you feel that as well? But no hands. Brian, I love you. Brian put his hand up. So I thought, Lord, this is ridiculous. Get a grip of yourself. So I sat down, got a piece of paper, wrote a note, put it under his windscreen. I've scratched your car. This is my number. I'm really sorry. Give me a ring. And he rang me up. And I just thought, this guy is going to give me a real telling off. So he rang up one of the guys. I answered the phone and said, it's a man from Luton about his car. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. I tell you what, he couldn't be nicer, you know. And I was surprised. And I think in our own lives sometimes, we can run from the love of God. We can run from the love of God. In verse 35, it says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? And this isn't who, as in people. But it does say these things of characters, shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, shall they separate us from the love of God. Wow. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we consider as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword shall not separate us from the love of God. Actually, in my life, when things go wrong and things are difficult and things are harsh, I say, God, I am convinced, no matter what I'm in, you love me and you're for me and not against me. Because God's love for me is deeper than troubles and hardship and sorrow. Amen? He said it once. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Some perils I've never faced. I've never been naked in the street, thank goodness. I have never faced the sword. But many people around the world do. Many people around the world do. And he says here, shall these things separate us from the love of God? The reply is no, but I should think there are many of us in difficult times where we felt isolated from the love of God because we are facing troubles and hardship and persecution. He doesn't write this just to say God is bigger. He writes this because he knows often in our hearts trouble and hardship and persecution come. And we cry out, God, where is your love for me? He says this, I am convinced, says it again in 38, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Death or life. I am so thankful that this gospel is powerful before I was born, is powerful in my life, is powerful after death, and has impact in resurrection and living forever with Christ Jesus. Beyond death. Neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future. And I should think in our lives, sometimes we worry about the future. We might worry about the present. Paul says, I am convinced that none of these can separate us from the love of God. None of these. My thought pattern when I hit that car, Martin, nobody saw it. Just go quickly. It's not a problem. He's a rich man. He can afford it. It says here, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. The demons would come and have me kill, steal, and destroy like their father, the devil. The people around me, the anxieties and uncertainties of life rack me, and I wonder, does God love me? And Paul, who's had a life of persecuting Christians, came to know that he was convinced that none of these things could separate him from the love. The love of God that gives Peter a fresh start, that granted forgiveness to a thief on a cross, that said that we were so much more than a sparrow. The love of God that said he knew every hair on our heads. The love of God that said to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. The love of God that spoke to a Samaritan woman when she was abandoned by everybody else. And the love of God that sent Jesus to eat with sinners. And the love of God that says to each of us, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. And I don't know, sometimes you can hear this stuff, and I believe the Holy Spirit can sometimes prompt us and say, God, I just need to revisit that. Will you romance me back to a place of love with you? Last Saturday, whenever it was, the wedding, it's great that Tim mentioned the wedding. We have some pictures up, and I didn't know he was going to do that, but one of the things that struck me, I dropped off one of our girls, there was country dancing going on, and I looked in from the outside, and I have never seen a church look so incredibly beautiful. And there was food, and there was people dancing, and the lights looked fantastic, and it looked like the most romantic, most beautiful place I've seen. And it was our church. And I thought to myself, Lord Jesus, will you once again romance your church? Once again romance your church, and we might know the love that you have for us and for the world around us. We may well know that God loves us, but sometimes we need something extra to really experience that. Would you agree? And I was reflecting on this, thinking, actually, there are steps in my understanding of God that have come through revelation of him, but also work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm really glad that actually charismatic churches get called happy clappy. because there is something about the presence of the Holy Spirit that brings joy. That brings joy. And Romans 5:5 says this, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. We tend to think about the Holy Spirit helping us and enabling us and equipping us and providing for us and speaking to us. And it says here that he has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit God's love. It talks about the Holy Spirit giving us assurance that we can then cry, Abba, Father, in the most intimate way. Call our Father in heaven, our Dad. It's a work of God's Holy Spirit. Romans 8:15 says, the Spirit you received does not make us slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. I'm going to be praying for people. We're going to be praying for people later. That God's Holy Spirit would come and you would know that you are a child of God. That you would know that he loves you. That he's poured his love into you. Because people here, many people here, struggle with that. Scripture is very clear. But it's also a work of his Spirit. That you might know you're a son of a Father who loves you and cares for you. And whether you were neglected in a different existence before you even came to know Christ, he can rebuild lives and restore lives. Because his love for you is deeper and higher and stronger than anything we've ever feared and anything we've ever been through. John 17 is beautiful. John 17 is where Jesus prays for the disciples. Prays for the disciples. Wonderful. I think it's the whole chapter. And it's very powerful that God opens up his heart through Jesus. And you see the cry of Jesus for these disciples. These sort of guys that are sort of drifting in, drifting out, getting confused, saying bizarre stuff. And he says this. This is just from verse 23. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory, the glory you gave me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Wow. This whole combination of Jesus' mission, many things, but he says here, I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me, says Jesus, may be in them and I myself might be in them. Wow. God's mission is that the love he had for Jesus might be profoundly experienced by each of us. Are we there? I think I've got a long way to go. I've tasted and I've seen them, but I want more. Where did we go? This is a strange link, but I was reading about, as Paul mentioned, he was last week, I think, looking at some Welsh revival stuff, and this guy called Evan Roberts, who's a significant guy when God moved in Wales, and he'd been to see another revivalist called Seth Johnson. He was really touched by God's Holy Spirit. This is in the early 1900s, and he was so impacted by the love of God, and the guy who was preaching said, Lord, would you bend us? Bend us, shape us. And he went to the front and said, God, would you do that with me? And He then felt God say to him, go back to your own church, where he'd been looking after the kids' work at church. And he went back to see his pastor. And the pastor, this guy was at Bible college, and the pastor said, well, you've just come back from Bible college, you've only done a couple of weeks, you've gone to see somebody really interesting, maybe I don't want you preaching. So he wasn't allowed to preach. And he said, but I'll tell you what, you can come to a prayer meeting. So he brought him along to a prayer meeting. And he said, they did the prayer meeting as normal. And they said, okay, I've got this this young man called Evan. He wants to speak to you, but we're at the end of the prayer meeting, you might want to go home. So he said to this prayer meeting, you might as well go home. If you want to go home, go home. You're busy. You've got a hard day's work. But if you want to stay, there's a young man here, he wants to speak to you. And a few people stayed. A few people stayed. Their love of God was such that they stayed. And he said three things to them. And he announced it in a way that he said, God is telling you. He had great authority when he spoke because he knew God had revealed him. And he said three things. Confess any known sin and put any wrong done to man right again. Put away any doubtful habit and obey the Spirit promptly. Wow. And within a few weeks, amazing things happened in Wales. So I want you to know God's love today. God's love. He's for you, not against you. The Bible says over and over again, and Paul says it at least three times in the book of Romans, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons or the present or the future or any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. I think the love of God is a starting point for those people staying behind after a prayer meeting to listen to what a young student had to say. And I don't want to grow up a child that can't receive love and so never prosper and never grow and be damaged. But I want to embrace him who is in all and over all and who loves me from the beginning of the earth. And the Holy Spirit is here that we might pray for you, that you might know God's love running through you. So if that's you today, wherever you're at, we want to pray that you would experience God's love and his passion for you. And if you feel as though you've been trapped by anxieties and the future and lies of Satan and all this stuff, and you begin to question God's love for you, we want the Holy Spirit to do his job. So we're gonna offer to pray. You don't have to be prayed for. But Mark's going to lead us in worship. We've overrun. But if you can organise some kids being picked up between you, I hope we can. But if people would like to be prayed for, that God's Holy Spirit would reveal to you his love for you, that you would know you're adopted into his family. And his love for you is never ending. We can pray for that. Amen. Mark.